For a preacher, that's a tough pill to swallow, to try to shorten up a sermon, but I'm going to do that. While you're turning over there to Matthew chapter 10, let me provoke you to thought by asking you this question. Can there really be peace on this earth? Some of you are not sure. Some of you have an answer already. I'm going to try to preach a very short message this morning. I did some research. Let me share this with you. Since the beginning of recorded history, the world has been entirely at peace only 8% of the time. If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
In other words, in over 3,100 years of recorded history, only 286 have been warless. Now, during that same period of time, 8,000 treaties have been broken as well. So when we're talking about world peace, there can be right. There can be no world peace until the Prince of Peace returns. What about personal peace? How about peace at home, peace at work, financial peace? I'm of the opinion that Jesus Christ can give you all of those. I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's holy word. When I read this, and we do have a great crowd here, and I know it's certainly not because of me, it's in spite of me, it's because of the food over there. I know why you're here. Somebody already, Pastor, you got a long sermon this morning? No, it's short there, Joe, it's short. I know we have a lot of guests, and y'all have been here before, and we'll try to find out exactly who you are. And during fellowship, we're still going to have fellowship time, aren't we? All right, let me read this to you. Christ not only brings peace, but He also brings division. If you're listening, say amen.
Amen.
Is that a true statement?
Yes.
All right, some of you are not sure. Go to verse 34. This is Jesus speaking. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, you have to ask yourself, and anytime I quote Charles Stanley, people will listen. Dr. Stanley, when we're talking about the Bible, and I believe that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible, Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God, there aren't any mistakes in it. But when I'm reading it, and what may appear to someone to be a contradiction, I'm asking God, Lord, what does this passage say? What does it mean? And make it relevant for me. And so if you're reading a passage of Scripture and you're not sure about its meaning, ask God to reveal that truth to you, and He will make that verse of Scripture become alive and explain it to you so that you can understand the truth. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Watch this. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Now, as I read that passage of Scripture, Jesus always brings peace to the human heart. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But in the days that we're living now, a person's faith in Christ can often cause a major conflict in a family, in friendships, and in other relationships. Go to verse number 38, or 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And watch this, he who finds his life shall lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. What does all that mean? Well, it simply means that God should be first in every area of your life. And even though I know we've got great food over there, we've got some music in just a moment, I've got to stand before God and give an account of myself. And when I preach this short message, it better have some relevancy. It ought to do some convicting and convincing, especially for someone right now who may not have any peace in their life. And that peace will only come the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Does that mean that the sky is always going to shine, and the sun is going to shine, the sky is going to be blue, and it's never going to rain on your parade? No. All right, I'll come back to that in a moment. On the Jumbotron, we always put this up there, and if there are the most confounding missing persons cases. True story. In August 1930, 45-year-old Joseph Crater waved goodbye to his friends after an evening meal in a New York restaurant. He flagged down a taxi, rode off. He was never seen or heard from again. 1930. You do the math. 1930, that is what? 85 years. 85 years of research has offered countless theories but no conclusions. Crater, I may have shared this with you before, was a successful New York Supreme Court judge. Many have suspected murder, foul play, but a solid lead was never found. Other options have been presented: kidnapping, mafia involvement, and even suicide. A search of his apartment revealed one clue, and I've read this story so often, and it moves me. It was a note attached to a check, and both were left for his wife. The check was for a sizable amount of money, and the note simply read, "I'm very weary, love, Joe." Now, the note could have been nothing more than a thought at the end of a hard day. It could have meant a great deal more than that. I don't know, but he was obviously... Have you ever been weary? I mean, really weary. And I'm not always... I can relate to physical weariness that comes from mowing the lawn. You can too. Mental weariness that may follow a hard day of decisions and thinking. But I'm of the opinion, and Max Lucado wrote this, and I'm of the opinion, and I agree with Max, that the weariness that attacked Judge Crater was much worse. It's the weariness that comes just before you give up. It's a feeling of honest desperation. It's the dispirited father, an abandoned child, a retiree with time on their hands. I'm of the opinion it's that stage in life when your motivation disappears. Children grow up. A mother and father dies. You lose a husband or a wife, and the result is weariness. Boy, your music really prepared me. Maybe not to preach, but it has prepared me. I don't even know if this is considered preaching. All I can say is this: there's only one man in history who's ever claimed to have an answer for weariness. You know what his name is? Jesus stands before all the Joseph Craters of the world with the same promise: "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let me read this passage of Scripture to you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing." That's for me and for you. I'm anxious over attendance. I'm anxious over tithes and offerings. I'm anxious over things that are out of my control. Why am I anxious over anything? I know it's in my nature. If it's in my nature, it's probably in yours as well. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to" who? God. Now look very quickly at verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." As I look at that passage of Scripture, it is well with my soul. How about you? Do you know why it's well with my soul? When I sin, I have an advocate. I have someone there who's ready to intercede for me on a daily basis and does. His name is Jesus. What type of peace does Jesus bring? Jerome, an early church father, had a dream one night in which Jesus visited him. In the dream, Jerome collected all of his money and he offered it to Jesus as a gift. Jesus said, "I don't want your money." So Jerome rounded up all of his possessions and tried to give them to Jesus, and Jesus responded, "I don't want your possessions." Jerome then turned to Christ and asked, "Well, what then can I give you? What do you want?" And Jesus replied, "Give me your sins. That's what I came for. I came to take away your sins." Forgiveness of sins. That is the essence of peace that Jesus Christ gives. Without that forgiveness, you and I cannot experience true peace. I'm reminded Billy Graham told this story. It was a great story about a farmer who, every time he said a bad word or every time he upset his wife or his children, he'd go out to the barn and put a nail in the barn. Somebody one time, there was hundreds of nails in the barn, and somebody asked the old farmer, "What in the world? Why do you have all those nails in your barn?" He said, "Well, when I get angry, I just go and drive a nail in the barn." One day he went to a church like this one, got saved. A few days later, same man driving down the road saw him pulling all those nails out of the barn. He said, "Man, what in the world happened to you?" He said, "I got saved." He said, "I'm giving all of these nails to Jesus." He said, "You still have a lot of holes in your barn." He said, "You're right, I do. But," he said, "I've been forgiven and I have peace." You know, the sad thing about sin is, even though God can take our sin and cast it as far as the east is from the west, there's still consequences. And so when I think about peace through forgiveness, I think about that story Billy Graham shared. There's also a peace that Christ gives us that is above every situation and circumstance. Let's close over in Rome. Notice I said close. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. It is a very familiar passage of Scripture to all of us. Happiness is dependent upon what? What is happiness dependent upon? Your circumstances. If you have a lot of money, you're probably happy today. If your health is pretty good, you're probably happy today. If your marriage is good, you're probably happy today. Your children are with you, you're probably happy today. Happiness is dependent upon one's circumstance. Peace, however, peace is the result of Christ living in my heart. Can I get an amen? Peace is the assurance that I'm safe in His hands no matter what may be going on around me. Peace is trusting Christ in the midst of turmoil. The peace of Jesus gives you the confidence to say, and we know that all things work together. Come on, help me out. And we know that all things for good to those who love the Lord, love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. The Bible says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." So when I have Christ, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, I have peace. One more thing that I'll share with you. It's not even 12 o'clock. Hello, can I get an amen? I know how you Baptists are about eating at noon. I'm not always available. I thought about that this week. I'm not always available. I wasn't here every night during vacation Bible school. And even though I was about my Father's business, I was at one church speaking to a bunch of youth at Gateway Christian Church and had the privilege of spending some time with them. And then we have a date. My wife, I dated my wife for Friday. Men, you ought to date your wives. There's peace in a home when a man is dating his wife. Hello, can I get an amen? Just because you've got that ring on their finger, you need to continue to date them, woo them. And I thought, you know, usually my phone number's in the bulletin. You can get a hold of me, and many of you have this past week. And I've done some really stupid things. I put a pair of glasses. It's just absolutely, I've never done this. I put a pair of glasses on the top of my car and then drove away. And then 5 minutes later, I realized I don't have my glasses on. I went back looking for them glasses, and I hope somebody really enjoys those sunglasses because they got them a nice pair of sunglasses. Figured they'd be broke on the ground, but they were gone. Somebody said, "Preacher, those sunglasses are not supposed to be on your car. They're supposed to be on your head." Now, everybody's full of advice and counsel. And I thought, you know, if the hardest thing I've had to endure this week is losing a pair of sunglasses, I've had a pretty good week. Hello, can I get an amen? Before Jesus left His disciples, He promised after He was gone that the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit would come and be with them, comforting, teaching, encouraging them. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit did come. And now He is comforting, He is teaching, He is encouraging, and He is available to all of those who simply put their faith and trust in Him. I want to close with a story. Because I'm not always available. Sometimes you have to try to track me down, but let me tell you right now, you don't need to. All you have to do, wherever you are, God will make himself available to you. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. Alfred Nobel, does that name ring a bell? Alfred Nobel, he was a Swedish physicist. Did you know he created dynamite? His intentions were awesome when he created dynamite. He wanted to create an explosive that would move mountains and rock to build roads and get things out of the way to build buildings. He wanted to create a force that was powerful that would make life better. The problem is that people took his creation and used it for destructive purposes to kill people and to make war. He became very depressed. He was so depressed that his good invention was being used in a wrong way, a destructive way, that he decided he would take $9 million, put it in an account, and he began giving it away, awarding it to people for promoting peace. Today we call it the Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, y'all are such an intelligent group. What motivated him was the fact that what he intended for good was being used for wrong. And so he wanted to award those who were doing what his intentions were in the first place. Now, when these people get the award, they become internationally known as Nobel Peace Prize winners. They're called by that name because they make peace instead of making war. Can I tell you this morning that God is looking for some good Nobel Peace Prize winners? Can I tell you this morning that God is looking for some people that he can bless and award because instead of making war, they're making peace? We fight in the Baptist church. Now, we fight over the color of carpet. We fight over the style of, man, has this music been awesome this morning? Anointed. From the very beginning. Amen? From the very beginning. Give God all the honor and glory. It's anointed. I can't wait to get over there and eat so that I can come back. Next year, I hadn't rolled around again, and I'm going to put a bug in Randy's ear. Man, I want him to come back again. Man, I mean, I'm just excited to be at Bethel Baptist Church. But more than that, I'm excited to be a child of God. And I know that even when I mess up, even when I disappoint me, he's always there to grant me that peace that passes all understanding. Every head bowed, every eye closed.